For go-getters and just going to betters, it's the Pre-W Smith Show with Jeff Sloan on 760 WJR.
All right, welcome back. Now, Kristen, you recently did an interview for us, which we're going to share with our listeners here in just a minute. This is on the topic of shrinkflation, that dirty little thing that retailers and brands do to actually get people to pay the same or pay more for a product that they've actually downsized. There are less ingredients for what your dollar is buying as opposed to the way it was before, and that's known as shrinkflation. So you think you're either paying the same, but the reality is you're not getting the same. And Kristen, we're bringing this story back and covering it again because this is something that's still happening pretty widespread right now, isn't it?
That's right, Jeff. This is even more frustrating because we're paying so much right now for our groceries when we go to the store.
Yeah. All right. Here's Kristen's interview on shrinkflation with Edgar Dworsky from Consumer World.
Edgar, good to have you back on. You know, I recently got the Consumer World newsletter in my inbox, and I couldn't even believe that we're still writing and talking about this. Edgar, you have to tell us, is shrinkflation still prevalent?
Well, I'm finding that shrinkflation is alive and well, and unfortunately living on supermarket shelves across the country. When there are times of high inflation, like we have now, we tend to see product manufacturers trying to figure out, are they going to raise the price of goods to consumers, or are they going to do it through the back door by giving you a little bit less in every package? And we're just seeing example after example of smaller grocery products.
And are there some that you've found recently or kind of been brought to your attention that are becoming more and more obvious?
Well, it's not obvious, frankly, and that's kind of the trick because the packages look the same. So, for example, Bounty paper towels, each roll went from 98 sheets on a roll down to 90. So you lost 8%, 8 sheets on a roll. But when you pick up these big packages that have, you know, 12 rolls in a bag, you're not going to notice the difference. I mean, if you had them side by side and lift up one, lift up the other, you'll feel the new ones are a little bit lighter. Because these companies are masters at packaging tricks. Another example is Gain liquid laundry detergent. The bottles have been 92 ounces seemingly forever these days, and it just went down 4 ounces to 88 ounces. I look at the two bottles side by side. I honestly can't tell the difference. So unless you had memorized the number of ounces or the number of loads that you supposedly get in each bottle, you wouldn't be any the wiser.
So not only are companies kind of exploiting customers by changing the fluid ounces, let's say in the Gain example, by keeping the packaging relatively the same, but changing the fluid ounces inside, are they also changing major things like truly shrinking the size of products or changing it from, you know, what we saw family size, large size, back to quote unquote regular size?
It is really not known to the consumer if they've changed, for example, the formula of the product. So even though you know, if you pay attention, you're getting fewer ounces, are you getting the same cleaning efficiency in detergents, for example? That's called skimpflation. When you have a product manufacturer tinkers with the recipe, tinkers with the formula, and then maybe they're putting in cheaper ingredients or less of the good stuff, you have no way of knowing because you can't tell, you know, you can't look at the back of a detergent bottle and it'll tell you, well, there's 14%, you know, whiteners in this and 17% detergents. You have no idea what you're getting.
This is frustrating. How long have you realized that you, because you focus on this, unlike myself, who's just a consumer who goes in, like many people, I'm in a rush, I'm in the grocery store, I'm going through, I need to get my, you know, things for my family. I'm not looking that closely. And for all I know, this could have been happening for decades. I mean, is that actually the case or is it something much more recent?
Well, shrinkflation is kind of a new term for what we always used to call downsizing. downsizing has been going on since the days of the nickel candy bar. That's in the 1950s. I actually started following shrinking items back in the 1960s, you know, when I was a teenager. And I saw Mr. Whipple on TV, and he, please don't squeeze the Charmin. And back then, Charmin had 650 sheets on a roll. Today, the super mega rolls of Charmin have around 350 sheets, 300 fewer.
Yeah. And now let me ask you, I mean, what do you see or what do you foresee as the future of consumer protection and kind of the regulation of it in the here in the United States?
Well, I will tell you, you will probably never see a law here that says a manufacturer has to put some type of notification on the package to alert the consumer to a change in the net contents. The only law I'm aware of, you know, in the world is in Brazil. In Brazil, they require manufacturers that shrink their items to put the old content on there, the new content, and what the percentage change is. I just worry product manufacturers would go crazy if that was introduced in Congress here. And, you know, lobbyists, you know, are going to be out there where consumers, you know, don't have an awfully loud voice in the matter, unfortunately.
Right. And this is not something that's necessarily specific to the United States. This is happening all over, with the exception of Brazil, like you were just saying, right?
Well, it's happening in Brazil, but people are alerted to it.
Right.
Certainly in Great Britain, Australia, products are shrinking everywhere. It's just kind of a time-tested method that manufacturers use to pass on a sneaky price increase. They know we as shoppers will notice a price increase if it's done directly. So if that orange juice used to be $2.99 and now it's $3.39, boy, consumers are going to notice. They may switch to another brand. But if they slyly take out a few ounces from the orange juice container, many consumers are not going to notice.
Are there any kind of upcoming trends or emerging issues that you're seeing, you know, kind of compiling on top of this shrinkflation?
There's nothing really new. Things that historically were the big categories of shrinking products, like paper goods and snack foods, it's still happening. I mean, for example, Oreos double stuff. Some of the packages used to be 20 ounces. Now they're about an ounce and a half. Less in the package, so you're getting four fewer cookies. But cookies even has been one of those categories where we see, you know, a ton of changes. Pick up most cookie packages in the store, and they're like 8 or 9 ounces. Give me a break. Within a couple of days, you have to buy another one.
Yeah. Well, let's be honest. It's cookies. You might have to buy another one anyways. So are you suggesting, or could it be a suggestion, that as a consumer, we should really be focusing more on unit prices?
Well, there's two things you've got to do as a smart shopper. You have to look at the items you buy all the time, see what the net weight is, or in paper products, the net count is. Memorize it. So when you go back to the store, double check. That's the only way you're going to know you're getting less for your money. Then you can take some action. You can look for a competing brand. You can switch to the store brand, which is usually the last one to change. Or as you suggest, take a look at the unit pricing label. If you're kind of faced with different brands and different sizes, all different prices, how do you figure out which is the best deal for real? It's look at the unit price to see the price per ounce. Then you can find the best bargain.
All right, Kristen, good job. Edgar, thank you. We're going to now head to a quick break. Back with more in a minute right here on the Pre-W. Smith Show.